Welcome to Cashflow Positive. I'm your host, Kenny Bedwell, founder of SCR Insights, one of the leading data platforms in the industry. Through using data and analytics, I've been able to replace my W-2 with cash flow from my successful short-term rentals. And my goal is to help you achieve the same freedom and success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just a novice looking to make your mark, Cashflow Positive is your go-to resource for unlocking the full potential of your property portfolio. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Cashflow Positive. I'm recording this after Christmas, so I hope you've had a very Merry Christmas with your family or Happy Holidays and enjoying that time with your family. But as we've talked about recently, markets you should invest in and what you should do in 2025, let's do a whole series on what you should not do in 2025, because there's a lot of talk out there of, oh, go here, go there, do this, do that. And it can be very confusing. And that's why I want to talk on the flip side of like, hey, look out. Here are some warning signs of things to avoid. There's a lot of top market lists. There's a lot of talking heads out there, gurus, influencers, realtors, whatever, who are always like, hey, scream from the mountaintops. This is the best market. This is what you should do. And, you know, whether it's this year or just ever. But the reality is that might not be the best area. How do you know if you don't know that market? So that's what I want to teach you, like how to avoid certain areas on this episode. And then in the next episode, I'm actually going to talk about which markets you should just flat out avoid. So, and why? Okay. Because I think it's really important. Now, the first thing I want to talk about is that we need to understand the concept that markets don't suck. Okay. It's not the market that sucks. It's the property in a particular market that might not be doing well. And it could be a number of reasons, meaning like there's just not enough people going to that market, therefore that want to stay at that property, or the property is just wrong for that market, or the types of people that are coming to that. We're going to talk about that one too, because I think that one's really important that I don't hear too many people talk about, having really cool properties, but in the wrong areas or the wrong markets altogether, and what types of examples those look like. So I'm going to talk about some markets that quote unquote suck. It's not really that the markets themselves suck, because they do have demand and travel and all these other things. It's just the types of properties that you can buy today at their current prices. And finally, it's the competition. The amount of supply in the market sucks, right? So like, we don't like buying in saturated markets. I think that's everyone's like boogeyman, you know, term for 2024 was saturation. We'll see how that plays out for 2025. But the reality is, there's a lot of markets that are saturated. And why is that? Saturation is terrible and it quote unquote sucks. And we should avoid markets that have high saturation levels if we're going to buy what's saturated in that market. Okay. So think of, rather when I'm talking about certain markets or certain areas, don't think of it as like, oh, Kenny hates this market. It's more so of, I hate the competition, the amount of competition in the particular market, with an explanation as to why. Okay. So it's not necessarily I'm picking on, because I know there's some people on here like I'm dead set on this particular area or this market and I've found success there. And that's great. Good for you. We'll talk about that too, as to why experienced people find better success in markets they know over just a newbie coming in. But the reality is that it's not about the market itself. And I hate that area. It's more about the competition, the amount of competition, the level of competition in those markets. Okay. So when we're looking for deals, we should be avoiding markets that have high competition. The reality is what we're trying to do is try to find areas that have long-term potential. Okay. Now, if you're in a market that has a high level of competition, is it the end of the world? No, it just means that you have to put in a little more effort. Which leads me to point number one that I want to talk about in this episode of being lazy is okay. Okay. So I talk about this all the time. Like I am naturally lazy in a sense where I like don't like to do certain things or work in, well, I do like working and teaching people, I guess, but working in a sense of like, you know, always trying to do something on social media or create a video or even sometimes creating podcast episodes or like, I got to go create another podcast episode. You know, it's work, right? And if it was already all done for me, I would probably choose check that box instead of just like me having to work through and grind through every single day. And I'm sure you feel the same way too. So naturally, we just like don't want to be working all the time. Hopefully you don't want to be working all the time either. And the reality is that we're kind of inherently lazy, and that's okay, right? But why would you take that like mentality, that natural mentality that we just said is okay. Why would you take that and then go somewhere and invest in a market that is incredibly competitive? All right. Now we're going to talk about the definition of incredibly competitive because there's different levels of it, right? There's markets that have hundreds of short-term rentals and they're competitive. And then there's markets that have thousands, okay? Even maybe over 10,000 short-term rentals. And it's extremely competitive. And those are the ones I really want to pick on and talk about why avoiding those areas first. Okay. But being lazy is okay. Meaning we want to find markets, okay, when we're looking for opportunities and investing in certain areas or even properties too. We want to find properties and markets where we don't have to spend a lot of time worrying about marketing, where we don't have to spend a lot of time worrying about adding a different amenity every single year, a big amenity, like I'm going to do a pickleball court and then I'm going to make it glow in the dark. And then the year after that, it's going to have like pop out cabanas that cover it. And then, or like a retractable roof or something like that. I'm going to build a structure over it. So it's now indoors and like, it just gets expensive. And it's basically spending our cash flow on investments into the property where sure, that can increase your cash flow. But if you're just reinvesting it all the time, what good does that do for your bottom line of like what you're trying to accomplish, your why, right? Am I investing in a property so I can keep investing into the property? No. No, I'm not. Like that's just should be the answer, right? Like, yes, we should reinvest in our property every so often. The rule of thumb is, you know, every 3 years, we should probably add some new type of amenity to the property. Every 5 years, we should think about doing either a refresh of some design and decor. And then every 10 years, probably a renovation of some sort, an update of some sort of maybe light fixtures or things that are maybe out of style or need to be replaced. So like there's time. I mean, that's the hotel timeline and how they do it. But we shouldn't be every year trying to think of some bigger and better amenity to add simply because we have to survive in a particular market. And that's what's going on in a lot of different markets. So being lazy is okay, meaning finding opportunities and deals where you don't have to worry about doing that every single year. Okay. There's a lot of markets out there like that. I avoid investing in markets where I have to worry about competing. I have to do the direct booking site. I have to, you know, worry about Facebook ads and marketing and trying to attract people and the social media presence, you know, dancing on TikTok to get people to stay at my place. Guys, I do that for SDR Insights. If you don't follow me at Kenny_Bedwell to see me dancing for followers for SDR Insights, definitely follow because you're gonna get a laugh out of it. But the reality is I don't have to do that for my properties. Because my properties get booked. If I was getting customers hand over fist, and I'm not saying we're doing bad or anything. If it was just like, I didn't have to do any marketing at all for SDR Insights, and I didn't have to dance or whatever stupid stuff I do, I would take that easy button, right? and that's okay. And that's basically what I'm talking about. It's like, don't go to markets where you have to put in more effort when you could go somewhere else and put in less effort, right? I know I mentioned the direct booking site thing, and it's fine to have a direct booking site, even in markets that are least competitive, but it's so nice being in an area like in some of my properties and some of the markets, like being in markets where we get booked on Airbnb or Vrbo. We don't have problems, you know, or issues of like competition or have to worry about marketing it. Or if we do have a direct booking thing, we can just make a cheap site that, you know, we can use. It's really simple. Not that has to be extravagant and elegant to try to track people on, you know, worry about SEO and Google ads and all this kind of garbage too. It's those people in the big, big, big time markets that are the competitive markets have to do that stuff to survive. Okay. I don't like to do that. I don't want to be in that camp. So I avoid places like that. I avoid investing in places like that. Okay. So the second point I want to talk about with investing, the wrong markets to invest in. Do not invest in markets with high, high expenses, okay? So let's talk about what types of high expenses we can deal with. Now, when I'm saying high expenses, I don't mean high setup costs. I know that some of you are in areas where they're a little more remote and the setup costs or the maybe to do something in that market is maybe a little more expensive. And that's where if we can budget that in correctly into the pro forma and understand everything, then for the startup costs, that's okay. But the costs that will kill you are the revolving, the reoccurring costs. So what I'm talking about are taxes, insurance, HOA fees or dues, any other sort of like services that go on, maybe like snow plowing and things. But that can vary. It depends on the season. And then as more and more services come into play, that can bring prices down. But the reality is prices that can go up, the biggest ones, the big three I just named, are any fees or dues that you have to go to an HOA. Most of us don't have those type of properties. Whew. But if you do, that is something to be concerned about. Taxes and insurance. Okay. So that's really what I talk about with expenses, is understanding not, oh, what are my utilities? Utilities kind of go up every single year, but not that much. And they're relatively, like, we know what they're going to be, or rough. Oh, it'll be like within $50 of this amount, unless there was some serious issue or whatever. But the reality is, it's the taxes and insurance that we don't know about that can change quickly. And depending on the market you're in, like say a beach market in Florida, taxes are kind of steep there, but it's more so the insurance side. The insurance has tripled in the last 2 to 3 years. So if you know that going in, I mean, why? But it's just going to kill your cash flow, right? So these are some of the obvious expenses I'm talking, like taxes. Like, for example, Michigan, we're seeing this a lot. And it's, I'm not saying all of Michigan's bad to invest in. So please, we're going to get there. We're going to name markets and we're going to get into specifics. But there are certain areas in Michigan, it's just like you could have the coolest property at the lakefront and look really good and fun and a cool house and it'd be a good price and all this stuff. It doesn't matter. The taxes are just $20,000, $30,000 a year for, you know, a $600,000, $700,000 home. That's ridiculous. Okay. And you really can't control what that amount is, nor can you control any sort of reassessment in the future. Same thing with insurance. If you're in an area that has a high likelihood of a natural disaster, you know, especially hurricanes and wind damage, things like that, that's, insurance has gotten a lot trickier recently. Now, are these areas I'm saying completely avoid? Remember, it's not about the market. It's more about the property. But why are we looking in areas when we're trying to look for deals? Why are we looking in areas that have these high, high costs? Avoid that. It just kills the deal. Like, it's like you do all this researching for a good property, you finally find one, or you finally figure out one that you can make awesome with a value add play or renovation or whatever. But then you run your performance and then finally get the insurance quote and the tax reassessment, and it just completely kaputs it. Okay. Your cash flow. So the reality is, I just don't like doing all that work to get to a no, right? So I'm avoiding investing in those types of areas. Just damn, all right? Unless the numbers are just like really, really good and it's something you can't turn away. And even though the insurance is high or the taxes could be high, it still pencils out and makes sense. But I'm just avoiding those areas altogether when I can look in other areas that don't have to deal with those issues, okay? So, and there's plenty of areas out there, guys. It's not just, you know, oh, well, everyone's got high insurance. That's not true. Okay. It's certain markets. And once again, we'll talk about those markets. Okay. So we talked about expenses. Third point, I avoid investing. And this is, I think people have like kind of figured this out in the last year, which I'm actually pretty happy about, is the whole like COVID boom and bust for a lot of these markets. So we saw that in some big time markets like Broken Bow and Blue Ridge, which will be on my list of do not invest in these markets, where they had a huge boom in the number of people traveling them. But then after, or like during COVID, and then right after COVID, like 2022, end of 2022, 23 and 24, demand has actually dropped in the number of travelers to these markets, but supply has just kept going up. And part of that is, number one, like, people are traveling to other places. They can now fly and travel. And we've recognized that by now. It's kind of like a year and a half of people flying and traveling outside of the country or going to other locations. But also, we have to look at the cities that feed some of these locations. So what I'm really concerned about is when I think of Broken Bow or Blue Ridge are a really, really, really good example of this. When I think of Blue Ridge, what city are people traveling from to get to Blue Ridge? It's Atlanta, Georgia. The next question is, how many people are flying to Atlanta, Georgia, and then drive to Blue Ridge? Nobody. I've never met a single person who's going on vacation, unless it was for like a wedding or, you know, like some special event there and they just didn't live in that area. But they're not like choosing to vacation in Blue Ridge, Georgia. So it's only the Atlanta people, okay? Nashville people don't go to Blue Ridge. They go to the Smokies. Charlotte, Raleigh, all those other big cities in the Southeast, they don't go to Blue Ridge. They go to Asheville, okay? Or they might go up to Virginia, right? So like the mountain range there, there's a couple cities. There's Gatlinburg, you got Gatlinburg, you got Asheville, and you got Blue Ridge. So your Blue Ridge is competing against two of those mountain markets, which are bigger and better, in my opinion. So the reality is you're only feeding from Atlanta as one city. And what happens when all those people start traveling to other places that are cooler and better and further away? Well, your demand drops, but supplies continue to increase. So I'm keeping an eye out on, you know, or not an eye out, just like not even like looking in those markets, because it's just so, number one, it's really competitive with the number of supply. Did you know that Blue Ridge, I don't want to picking on Blue Ridge here, their supply increased 100% year over year, 100%. Okay, like there was like 2,000 listings last year, now there's like 4,000. I don't know the exact number. I've got it pulled up here. I'm going to go over it in the next episode. But like, that's insane. That's so many properties that came online just in the last year. And that's just from 2024 or 2023 to 24. That's like, you definitely should avoid a market like that, right? And then the second reason why, like to like kind of back this like long-term perspective up, and we're avoiding these markets that just have this like short boom, is a lot of these places are, they have very low regulation, or maybe it's like in small pockets, but for the most part, it's a large region, right? Broken Bow or Broken Bow is not too big, but it is kind of big. Blue Ridge is, it's not just Blue Ridge. There's other little markets around there like Cherry Log, Ellijay, Mammoth. And you've got all these different markets that are like sub markets or tertiary markets, but it's all Blue Ridge region. Okay. And they all have very little to no regulation. Some have communities where they're like, nope. And then other ones are like, yeah, it's open. But guess what they're doing there? They're building subdivisions of new STRs. Keyword STR, short-term rentals, right? So I'm not even saying like they're building subdivisions for people to live in. They're building subdivisions of homes to be specifically short-term rentals, cabins that don't have views, that aren't near the traffic drivers, that are just out in the middle of nowhere in the mountains of Blue Ridge, where who the heck's going to them? And they're being priced super high. So there's going to be some sort of correction at some point in some of these types of markets. Broken Bow's got this going on. The Smokies have this going on too. They just have a lot higher demand in foot traffic. Broken Bow, on the other hand, doesn't. Once again, Dallas, maybe Oklahoma City goes to Broken Bow. But the reality is like it's the same thing as Blue Ridge, where it's like there's a casino there. But once again, people aren't just going to fly to Dallas or fly to Oklahoma City and then drive 3 hours to Broken Bow to go to a casino. It's like, come on, really? Is it that nice of a casino? I know there's a lake and some other stuff, but don't get me wrong. I'm not like trying to pick on the market itself. It's just like, let's be realistic about the long-term growth and expectations for these places. I'm looking at these things when I'm deciding where I should not invest. And if I see some of these indicators of, wow, they're just building communities of short-term rentals, like in Branson, Missouri, they're all cookie cutter and they all look the same. They all have the same views and they all share the same amenities. And it's like, you literally can't add anything to the property to compete. Why the heck am I going to go there? That should be the same thing for you. Don't invest in those types of markets. Okay, last thing, and this is a big one. You're competing, especially for people who are buying properties that are less than four bedrooms, you're competing against resorts and hotels. So if you're in a city that has high demand, and I'm thinking like in Orlando, Las Vegas, even Scottsdale, Miami, some of these places that there's a lot of established resorts and hotels, and you're going there and you're a B&B and trying to compete with those, and you got less than four bedrooms, it's going to be challenging starting like in, well, really the last few years going forward, because those hotels and those resorts have a lot of money and they're going to be lobbying against you forever. They already have been lobbying against you if you're in those markets right now or you're looking in those markets. It's really risky from a regulatory standpoint, but also from a competitive standpoint. They're changing and adapting, and they will be better than just a one-bedroom or two-bedroom condo in Miami, Florida, or in Orlando, because they're adding the amenities and they're in the better locations. And so I'm personally avoiding investing in those areas because of the amount of resorts and hotels and what they're doing and what they're dumping into. After COVID, there were a lot of different like brands before COVID, and they all kind of got bought up by these like big conglomerates. And, you know, like Marriott and, what's the other one? I don't know. I'm like members of the big three or whatever they are. But all these like big hotel brands bought up these different like small brands. And now they're like all under each and they're just pouring money into them, investing and making them better. And so that's fine and dandy. But if you've got less than four bedroom properties in there, you're competing directly against them. Okay. So that's why I'm personally just saying, hey, look, I just avoid those markets altogether because they're expensive and you're always going to be second place. Do not buy in a market where you're always going to be second place, because eventually you'll be forced to be third, fourth, fifth, and so on in the last one eventually booked, which you don't want to be. So there was a couple things I talked about. So number one, being lazy is okay. Meaning, let's not just look at markets that are highly competitive. Let's go to areas where maybe there's less competition and the barrier of entry is pretty low. Number two, avoid markets where you have high expenses like taxes, insurance, and HOA fees. Okay. So like, just really don't start looking there. Look in other places. Number three, look for markets that have long-term growth, long-term demand over time, not just markets that were boom or bust during COVID and, you know, bust after COVID. We talked about also too, and ties to that, like avoid markets with communities of STRs being built and new STRs all over the place, because you're going to be what, second, third place after the new one comes. Bigger and better is always coming. And then finally, that ties directly into the final point. Avoid markets where you're competing directly against hotels and resorts, because they have money and they will eventually win. Okay. I hope you enjoyed this episode. On the next episode, I'm going to just give you a list of, hey, don't invest in these markets, and here's why. Remember, markets don't suck. It's the competition in those markets that suck. And I'm lazy. And so, yeah, I'm not going to invest in those places. And that's, and I'll give you data and actual logic behind why, but that's essentially my thoughts as to why I wouldn't invest in certain markets. So be sure to tune into that episode and listen in the places and the regions I'm going to talk about as to why. And then do me a favor. If I name a market, don't share it with your favorite realtor in that market, because I just don't want them to be upset at me. And they shouldn't send me angry messages all the time. So anyway, but I'm not attacking anyone. It's just funny. I get those messages. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and I will see you on the next episode of Cashflow Positive.